Welcome to the Beyond Finding Equine podcast. I'm Morgan Stevens, an equine postural and performance practitioner. I created this podcast for other horse enthusiasts to learn and hear about all sides of the equine industry. On this podcast, I'll be interviewing other professionals and getting their takes on the horse world. You can expect controversy, advice, inspiration, and surely to get your horses feeling fine. Welcome back to the Feelin' Fine Equine podcast, and happy March. I hope wherever you are, it is starting to warm up a little bit as we head into springtime. I am so excited for the warmer weather. On today's episode, we get to talk with somebody who has their own method of equine bodywork, and you might be familiar with this method. The Masterson method is a unique interactive method of equine bodywork that anyone can learn to help build trust with the horse. If you want to hear more, keep listening as we talk with Jim Masterson. Okay, so I know that a lot of people are familiar with your techniques, but can you just explain a little bit about what the Masterson method is and what your process was in developing it?
Sure. When I started doing this with horses and, you know, realized what was going on with them, I really didn't have a easy way to explain it, because it's kind of you're following the horse's responses, and that kind of determines, leads you to what you're going to do next and where. And you end up, you know, doing different modalities that you don't even know that you were doing until somebody tells you you're doing myofascial release. I was just doing it because I was following the horse's responses, and that's what led to me doing what I was doing. So my wife said I needed to come up with a 15-second elevator speech. What is the Masterson method? So I did, and it's a method of equine body work where you learn how to read and follow the responses of the horse to your touch to help it release tension in key junctions of the body that most affect performance. So that would be it in a nutshell. So I was grooming hunter jumpers on the show circuit. There was a show barn in town, in this town I live in Iowa, and the trainer was looking for a groom to go on the road with her, you know, when they were showing out of town. So somebody to haul the horses and groom at the shows. So I went to work for her, and I wasn't really interested in equine massage or any type of body work or anything, but I've always been, you know, interested in horses and horse behavior. And I noticed that when therapists were working on the horses, other massage therapists or chiropractors or acupressure or craniosacral therapists were working on these show horses, these hunter jumpers, that the horses would, there'd be little changes in behavior. You know, like as their hand was going over an area, the eye might blink, or there may be a change in breathing or some subtle signs that the horse was feeling something as a result of what they were doing in that moment and in that spot. But it was a real subtle response. So that's what intrigued me. So I started just playing with it. And for example, the bladder meridian technique, we run our hands, you know, slowly down the top line of the horse, and we watch the eye or watch for some subtle change in behavior or response. And I was at a show in Estes Park, and the trainer hired these two ladies to massage the horses. And they started by going over the bladder meridian very lightly to relax the horse and connect with the horse. So I noticed then when they were doing that, the horse would blink every once in a while, you know, at some spot. And I could see the horse was feeling something. So I started experimenting with it, and I would run my hand down the top line of the horse and watch the eye. And if I got a blink, if this horse blinked, and I'm just barely touching the horse, because that's what they were doing, barely touching. And the blink meant the horse was feeling something. So since I wasn't trained to massage that spot or do anything, and I was just curious, I would go back over again. And if they blinked at the exact same spot, that meant there was the correlation between what they were doing and I was doing. So it meant something. They were feeling something. So rather than massage it or do anything else or put pressure on it, I would just wait lightly and see what happened. And the horse might blink again, and then the horse might drop its head and start to lick and chew. And so I could see something was happening just by following the responses and giving and staying on that spot. So that's how I kind of got interested in this and started experimenting with it. And I started adding movement to some of the techniques, but it was the same principle. If you're asking for movement in a relaxed state of a, you know, any part of the body, if the horse is completely relaxed through the movement, when the horse feels something in that range of motion, they might blink or give you some subtle response. And if you just get them to relax through that movement, they'll release some of the tension and they'll give you some more responses like yawning, licking, chewing, or yawning. So these are all behaviors that go along with releasing tension in the horse's body. So that's what we follow with this method. We follow the responses of the horse, and the horse tells us where it's holding tension and when it's released the tension.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so now you have people who are like trained under you and practitioners who do the Masterson method, correct?
Yeah, I started working on hunter jumpers when I was grooming them. And then eventually I just worked on horses for a living. And then people were curious about it, you know, because it's kind of different. Like the horse is participating in the process. You're not just doing something to the horse. And so owners wanted to start learning it. So I knew I was going to be teaching it at some point. So I started having I started with 1 day seminars, you know, clinics, and then moved on. We did 2 day weekend clinics and I started teaching those. And then we got busy. So I started training. Well, first what happened is after the weekend, I would have equine massage therapists would come to the weekend and they wanted to learn more. So I created a 5 day advanced course with more advanced techniques that I'd learned and taught that. And then they wanted to get certification. So we created a certification program, which is pretty intense, you know, but people really wanted to learn this and learn how to work on other horses. So we developed a certification program and it just grew and grew and grew and grew. So now I have instructors teaching instructors because it's gotten so busy over the years. You know, it's been like almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And we have like 500, over 500 certified practitioners around the world. And I think I was just working on some instructor stuff here. And I think we probably have over 30 instructors around the world. And it just grew like that. You know, it's interactive. People want to learn it because it's something you do with your horse and you can help your horse and you learn how to read what your horse is telling you. So it improves relationship with your horse. So that's what we do now. And so it's now I have an office job, which I didn't really sign up for, but you know, that somebody has to kind of keep things going. And so I do get out and get to work with horses and work with our practitioners. But it's turned from working on horses to teaching people to just running the show. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. Obviously, you guys have a lot of success with what you do, but has there ever been any pushback that you've received with the method?
Not much. No, not much. I was surprised when I started teaching. I would, you know, I was around horses when I was a kid, and I know how horse people can be or used to be, like,
right.
You know, I just didn't run into pushback. People would watch and I would be watching to see if, you know, like I go to horse expos and do demonstrations and I'd see, you know, on the seating there, mostly women, because mostly women are involved with horses nowadays, especially with learning new things. But there'd be a guy sitting there, you know, like with his elbow hand on his knee and his, you know, watching with a frown on his face. And I'm on his face and I'm doing demonstrating techniques and how it works. And I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking, well, he's not buying this at all, but that's okay. You know, there's enough people here that are interested. And then I would be surprised at the end of the demo, he'd be the one that comes up, you know, to ask about it. So.
Wow. That's really awesome. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what the bladder meridian technique is?
Well, the bladder meridian technique is, it's like where you start with this, with the horse, because that's how you connect with the horse. You learn how to read the horse's responses and the horse figures out what you're up to. But back to that story with these ladies that were massaging the horses, they use the bladder meridian, which is a Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine meridian. It's an energy pathway. And that's about as much as I know about traditional Chinese medicine. there are different meridians. There are 12 on each side of the body, but the bladder meridian is one of the major ones. All the other meridians are associated with it. It runs down the top line. It's easy to reach. It goes through the three key junctions that are most important: the pole atlas junction, the neck shoulder withers junction, and the sacroiliac junction. It passes through all of those. But mainly, it's just a way. That's what I started learning. That's what I use now. It's a way to connect with the horse and read what's going on with the horse's responses. It's a way to find out where in the body the horse is holding tension, because you find where the tension is and where it releases. So it's just it's the meridian we start with. I mean, it's the technique we start with the horse, and yeah. It relaxes the horse. The horse lets go of, sometimes they're holding really deep tension in their core muscles and in their spinal column. And it's not stuff you can massage out. But if you bring the horse's awareness to where it's holding tension in a way that it can't brace against it, because they survive by blocking out pain and discomfort. That's how they survive. But if you bring their attention to those spots by putting no pressure on, they can't brace against no pressure, and you keep their attention on it long enough, their nervous system will start to release that tension. So that's really the power of the bladder meridian technique, is that it brings the horse's awareness to where it's holding tension in a way that it can't brace against it. And if you keep the horse's awareness on that long enough, they'll go from the sympathetic nervous system, which is the flight response, that will start to let go, and the parasympathetic will start to take over, which is rest and digest and regenerate and relax. So that's how it works. But you don't have to just do this on the bladder meridian. You can do this on anywhere on the horse's body. You can search for responses and wait. Stay there until you get a release anywhere on the body.
Okay.
And anybody can learn to do that, as long as anybody that has a little bit of patience and doesn't need to push on the horse can learn how to do this in like 5 minutes.
And so do you normally recommend doing the whole bladder meridian, or can you do parts of it?
No, you can do parts. You don't have to do the whole thing. You don't have to do both sides. Sometimes that's too much for the horse. Sometimes all the horse, you know, if they have a lot of tension going on and they're used to blocking it out their whole life, sometimes, you know, they can't handle the whole thing. But you just follow the horse's responses. And as long as the horse is comfortable when you continue doing it, you can just continue doing it and do both sides. And on our website, we have a link to a 15-minute video that's taken from our Light to the Core video. It's a 15-minute clip from that teaches you how to do the bladder meridian on our website. I was just going to bring it up, see if I can see where it is on our website. Yeah, on our website, if you go to the website and click on, go to the homepage and scroll down, and there's a tab there that says free educational videos. And there are probably 20, you know, videos there on how to do different techniques. And some of them are the bladder meridian. Well, there's a couple of bladder meridian ones here. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I want everybody to do the bladder meridian with their horse, because, you know, the horses need it, and it connects them with their horses. And then if people want to learn more, they can come and learn more. But, you know, this is there for people to learn.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about what the different types of releases that horses have?
Well, you learn what to look for in the responses, you know. So the subtle responses when you're running your hand lightly over the horse are, if the horse is feeling something, the most common is the blink, like the eye will blink as you're going over anywhere on the horse. But let's say you're going down the bladder meridian and you're slowly going down, and then you get a blink. Then you just stay there. You search till you get a response. And when you get a response, you stay on that spot and you just wait. Don't rub it. Don't push. Don't do anything. Just keep your hand lightly there until the horse's nervous system starts to let go of the tension and they release tension. And then they'll give you larger responses like licking and chewing, yawning, repeated yawning, snorting and sneezing. All these are signs of release of tension. So you have subtle responses like blink, or some horses, their lips will twitch. They're not blinkers, but they're twitchers. Those are subtle responses. Sometimes you'll get a change in breathing. And that's a sign the horse is feeling something. So that's a sign that you just wait and stay there until you get a larger response, like a release response. And next to moving on is to like the movement techniques. And so these are techniques where you're asking for movement. Let's say, for example, in the horse's neck, you're using the nose, your hand on the nose to gently wiggle the neck, you know, the cervical spine. You have your other hand resting on the neck, just softly. And by gently moving a joint or a junction through a range of motion in a relaxed state where the horse is completely relaxed, that process will allow you to find where the horse is holding tension and it will allow the horse to release it. And how that works is if you're gently moving down the neck, doing what we call lateral cervical flexion. And I think there's on those free educational videos, there's some demonstration of that. As you're going down the neck, you gently wiggle and then you soften and you slide your hand down farther down the neck and you wiggle and you slide your hand farther down, you wiggle. When you wiggle a spot where their horse has tension in the connective tissue of that joint or junction, if there's tension or discomfort in it, when you wiggle, they'll brace. They'll tense up. And when they tense up, if you soften your hands when they tense, that allows them to release that tension and then you can wiggle or move on through it. So it's a similar thing that's happening as with the bladder meridian. You're searching for tension in the horse's body by asking for relaxed movement. And when you find the tension, the horse will brace back. And when they brace, you soften and allow the horse to release it, then you can move through it. So you're bypassing their bracing response. Every time, it doesn't work if they're bracing. If the horse braces and you soften, they'll release some tension. So it's a similar principle as searching, you know, with light touch and searching for subtle responses, except the response is physical. You feel the horse tense, you soften, they let it go, and then you move through it.
I know that it can be common sometimes when people are working with their horses that their horses want to be mouthy or bite or nibbly. What does that come from and what can we do to kind of help guide the horse through that?
Yeah, so that happens quite a bit because you'll have a horse that is let's say they have tension in their neck and their poll and a lot of horses do, you know, just from life, you know, horses, the majority of their weight's on their front feet get sore or tense and their legs get tense and it transfers up into the poll in the neck. So they'll be tense. They'll have tension there. So if you start doing the bladder meridian up there or even doing the lateral flexion, asking for movement, and they'll start to, all of a sudden they're feeling something that they were blocking out before. They survived by blocking out this tension. And all of a sudden you're finding it. And you're not allowing them to, they can't block it out because you're not putting any pressure on them. They can't brace against no pressure. So it becomes a little bit uncomfortable for them. And so they'll chew on the lead rope or they might want to nip at you, especially if they're already mouthy. This will bring it up. But to me, that's a sign that they're feeling something now that they weren't feeling before. So to me, that's a good sign. That's just who that horse is. That's how he handles dealing with that new sensation or that discomfort of all of a sudden, oh no, they're, you know, now I'm feeling this stuff that I want to block out. So you just need to learn to soften a little when that happens and then keep going. Or, you know, sometimes a horse is mouthy. You just have to, I'll shorten the lead rope, you know, shorten the lead rope a little bit so he can't quite reach me. Or let him chew on the lead rope. I call that fidgeting. Fidgeting is a sign that they're feeling something that they weren't feeling before. And they have to feel it to let it go. So fidgeting is part of the process for some horses.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of times in life, we tend to get busy or rushed, and that can portray a lot in our body language. How important is our body language with the horses that we're working with?
Well, to me, all you have to do is be relaxed, you know, and not be in a hurry. So the first thing is you have, and it's in the book. It's something I said very early on from the very beginning when I started teaching people and showing them how to do this is you have to throw away the clock. If you have any agenda at all that, oh, okay, I'm going to get through this in 10 minutes, or I'm going to fix that problem. I know he's sore and I know he's not bending this way. And I know he's sore here. If you have an agenda or you feel like that you have a time constraint, then it's not going to work because the horse is going to pick up on it. And then their internal bracing is going to come up. That's when their guard comes up. So first is throw away the clock. Second is don't have an agenda. And third is just stay relaxed. You know, keep your arm relaxed, keep your legs relaxed. I find that if I'm walking, approaching the horse or standing with the horse, if I bend at the knees and I'm not standing real tense and straight, if I just relax and shift my weight a little bit from leg to leg before I go to work, that's what horses you do. You know, when you see a horse start to relax behind, he'll kind of shift his weight a little from leg to leg, even in the front, and then they settle in. So just, approach the horse slowly. Don't approach the horse like you're too, like it's scared. Like, I don't think it's good to go up and like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. A lot of times the horse is okay to start with, and you're telling him all of a sudden it's okay. Oh, he wonders, well, why shouldn't it be okay? So you just come up confidently and come and slowly and relax to the horse, and that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I think that that's great advice.
Yeah.
Do you have something that maybe you think that we as horse owners could do better by our horses?
Oh, I think slow down and just give the horse a chance to figure out what's going on. You know, they don't have that. I've been doing these clinics with Dr. Stephen Peters and Mark Gratiot, and Dr. Peters is a brain, a neurologic neurology guy. He's a horseman, but he's also a brain scientist. And you know, he explains the horse doesn't have that part of the brain, the neocortex. It's not like ours. That's our analyzing and figuring out part of the brain. In the horse, it's very small. They're more of a survival animal. So, and that's why how they're wired. They're wired not to stop and think about things. If there's like a mountain lion approaching, they don't stop and think about it. They go. You know, that's their program to get away. So that's what keeps them alive, is not overthinking things like humans do. Thinking's way overrated. So, anyways, if you just slow down and allow your horse time to figure things out, whether you're training or doing body work, and not have an agenda and not expect them to figure things out like we do. Oh, you know, he's being a jerk. He's not trying, or he understands what I'm telling him, but the chances are he doesn't, if he's not getting it, or if you think he's not getting it. But that's probably the biggest thing, is just slow down, give the horse a chance to feel safe and figure something out, and then move ahead with it. Because they do like to learn, they do like to do things, they do like to interact with humans, and they love routine. So if you just get into a routine with your horse, that they really love that.
Absolutely. I think sometimes, too, as owners, we portray human characteristics to our horses. Can you talk a little bit about like equine behavior and maybe things that they do that we're misunderstanding?
Well, I don't know, just I'm not a behavior scientist or anything, but they're not super complicated. If they're not getting something, or if they're bracing against you, or they're pushing against you, or well, this is one thing I noticed early on. Horses that are dominant and pushy, I learned that the reason they're that way is because they're feeling insecure. And so they start pushing. If they don't have the opportunity to go away and they feel insecure, and then they're going to push against you, and they're going to be dominant. And a lot of people, I used to get angry at horses that were that way, until I realized they're that way because they're feeling worried about something. And if you're not going to be the confident one and the adult, then they're going to have to take over. So a lot of times when they're pushing you, they're checking to see if you're the confident one. And I don't mean you're not supposed to smack them. You're not supposed to show them who's the boss. I don't really like that term. It's just you need to be the confident one, the one that feels safe, and the one that you don't have. You just have to be confident and not bossy to them. Just be confident and set some boundaries, and then back off. You know, don't keep doing it. We tend to blame the horse for stuff, and they don't do that. Once it's over with us, once they're done with an experience, even if it's not a nice experience for them, once it's over, it's over, and they don't hold it against you until you come back to do the same thing again. Then they're not. Then they're gonna associate that, and then they're gonna be the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think
Yeah.
that that's great advice.
Yeah, Dr. Stephen Peters, he's got his book, Evidence-Based Horsemanship. I'm sure you can get it anywhere, by Dr. Stephen Peters and Martin Black. It's about how the horse thinks. And it's really helpful once you understand how the horse processes things, then you don't start to attribute our human characteristics to them and get mad at them when they don't think the way we do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. So for people who maybe want to learn more about you and your methods, where can they find you?
Oh, I don't know. I think I have a website out there somewhere. mastersandmethod.com is the website. And it has, we have the Beyond Horse Massage book and DVD. There's another DVD that we did a few years ago called Light to the Core. And it's all very light techniques. There's no picking up legs. Because, you know, the Beyond Horse Massage and the weekend seminar courses we do, they involve handling the legs, picking up the legs to release tension in the scapula and release tension in the hind end. You don't have to do all those techniques, but you know, they're there on the weekend. But the first step is the Beyond Horse Massage book and DVD, and then the weekend seminar. But then there's also another DVD we have out called Light to the Core, which is just light touch techniques. So, and then our YouTube channel. My kind of thing is that I like to put a lot out there for people to try themselves. And if it works for them, then they want to learn it more, then they can come back and buy the book or DVD, Beyond Horse Massage or Light to the Core. And if that works for them and they want to learn more, then they can do a weekend seminar, and we have them all over the country. And then if they want to learn more, we have a 5-day advanced course. And then if they want to go on to become certified, we have a certification program. So you just kind of, you know, try it and see if you like it. And then if you want to learn more, there's another step and another step. It's not like you have to buy the whole ball of wax. You know, it's not about that. It's about doing things that you really resonate with. And then getting more if you want to get more.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, that's great information for people. And I hope that people were able to learn something new from this. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was fun talking with you.
It was so fascinating to speak with Jim himself and get his perspective on things, as I've seen some really awesome successes with his techniques on horses. And I really hope that you guys take advantage of some of those resources that he has for you, like the free educational videos on his website. If you liked this episode, please leave us a 5-star review. It really helps us get this podcast out there for other horse enthusiasts to learn new things about their horses and to help them. Please also subscribe so that you know when new episodes come out, which is every other Wednesday. Otherwise, we'll see you next time. Bye. Nothing gonna hold you back when you got it like that.